Not long afterwards, the two soldiers appear. They're wearing fatigues of the old Imperial Army. Short-sleeved summer uniforms, gaiters and knapsacks. No helmets, just caps with peaks, and some kind of black face paint. Both of them are young. One of them's tall and thin, with round, metal-framed glasses. The other one's short, broad-shouldered and muscular. They're sitting on a flat rock. Neither one of them looking as though he's about to spring into battle. Their Arisaka rifles are on the ground at their feet. The tall soldier seems bored and is chewing on a stem of grass. The two of them look perfectly natural, as if here is where they belong. Unperturbed, they watch as I approach. There's a small, flat clearing around them, like a landing on a staircase. "Hey," the tall soldier calls out cheerfully. "How are you doing?" the brawny one says with the smallest of frowns. "How are you?" I greet them in return. I know I should be amazed to see them, but somehow it doesn't seem weird at all. It's wholly within the realm of possibility. "We were waiting for you," the tall one says. "For me?" I ask. "Sure," he replies. "No one else is coming out here, that's for sure." "We've been waiting a long time," the brawny one says. "Not that time's much of a factor here," the tall one adds. "Still, you took longer than I'd expected. You're the two guys who disappeared in this forest a long, long time ago, right?" I ask. "During manoeuvres." The brawny soldier nods. "That's us." "They searched everywhere for you," I say.
"Yeah, I know," he says.
"I know they were looking for us. I know everything that goes on in this forest. But they're not going to find us, no matter how hard they look." "Actually, we didn't get lost," the tall one says. "We ran away." "Not running away so much as just stumbling onto this spot and deciding to stay put," the brawny one adds. "That's different from getting lost." "Not just anybody can find this place," the tall soldier says. "But we did, and now you have too. It was a stroke of luck, for us at least. If we hadn't found this spot, they would have shipped us overseas," the brawny one explains. "Over there, it was kill or be killed. That wasn't for us. I'm a farmer originally, and my buddy here just graduated from college. Neither one of us wants to kill anybody, and being killed's even worse. Kind of obvious, I'd say." "How about you?" the tall one asks me. "Would you like to kill anybody or be killed?" I shake my head. "No, neither one, definitely not." "Everybody feels like that," the tall one says. "Or the vast majority, at least. But if you say, hey, I don't want to go off to war, the country's not about to break out in smiles and give you permission to skip off. You can't run away. Japan's a small country. So where are you going to run to? They'll track you down so fast it'll make your head spin. That's why we stayed here. This is the only place we could hide." He shakes his head and goes on. "And we've stayed here ever since. As you said, from a long, long time ago. Not that time's a major factor here. There's almost no difference at all between now and a long, long time ago." "No difference at all," the brawny one says, waving something away with his hand. "You knew I was coming?" I ask.
"Sure thing," the brawny one replies.
"We've been standing guard here for a long time, so we know if somebody's coming," the other one says. "We're like part of the forest."
"This is the entrance," the brawny one says, "and we're guarding it.
And right now, the entrance happens to be open," the tall one explains. "Before long, though, it'll close up. If you want to come in, now's the time. It doesn't open up all that often."
"We'll lead the way," the brawny one says. "The path's hard to follow, so you need someone to guide you in."
"If you don't come in, then go back to where you came from," the tall one says. "It's not all that hard to find your way back, so don't worry about it. You'll do fine. Then you'll return to the world you came from, to the life you've been living. The choice is entirely yours. Nobody's going to force you to do one or the other. But once you're in, it isn't easy to go back."
"Take me inside," I answer without a moment's hesitation. "Are you sure?" the brawny one asks.
"Someone's inside I have to see," I say. "At least I think so." Slowly, the two of them get up off the rock and shoulder their rifles. They exchange a glance and walk on ahead of me.
You must think it strange that we still lug around these heavy lumps of steel, the tall one says, turning round. They're worthless. Never had any bullets anyway. They're kind of a sign, the brawny one says, not looking back at me. A sign of what we left behind. Symbols are important, the tall one adds. We happen to have these rifles and soldiers' uniforms, so we play the part of sentries. That's our role. Symbols guide us to the roles we play. Do you have anything like that with you? The brawny one asks. Something that can be a sign? I shake my head. No, I don't have anything. Just memories. The brawny one says. Memories, eh? That's okay, doesn't matter, the tall one says. Memories can be a good symbol too. Of course, I don't have any idea how well memories will stand up, how long they'll last. Something that has a form or shape is best, if you can manage it, the brawny one says. It's easier to understand. Like a rifle, the tall one says. By the way, what's your name?
Kafka Tamara, I answer.
Kafka Tamara, they repeat as one. Weird name, the tall one says.
You can say that again, the brawny one adds.
After this, we walk in silence down the path.